Good morning. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, I'm thankful that you are an awesome God. I'm thankful that you give us days like today where we can just connect to you and write in new ways. So, Father, I pray for myself. I pray for every heart here. Would you do a good work in us today? Would you encourage us, strengthen us? Would you shine the light of Christ into our lives that we might live more nobly and boldly for you? I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever known somebody before that just made you want to be a better person? Or maybe you read about them or learned about them and you thought, man, if I could just be a little bit more like them, a little bit more gracious, a little bit more humble, a little more kind, maybe I could make some difference. Sometimes I've been reading some histories and biographies and I'm like, I'm not even a Christian, God, I'm sorry. I learn about these people and I'm so amazed by these lives that they lived. And I think, man, God, if you could do that in them, what might you do in us? Well, I read about one of these women, and she was born in Russia. She was known as Mother Maria. She immigrated to Paris and lived most of her adult life there, and she just lived a complicated life. It was messy. She was married and divorced and had a couple different kids. She smoked and drank pretty unapologetically, and she loved God fiercely, and she just loved him in the kind of way that helped her be a different girl. She lost one of her daughters to illness at the age of 4. And then she lost another daughter to illness at the age of 22. And both of these just tragic losses had an incredible impact on the life that she lived. She said, I became aware of a new, special, broad, and all-embracing motherhood. I returned from that cemetery a different person. I saw a new road before me, a new meaning in life. To be a mother for all who needed maternal care, assistance, or protection. She lost her kids and felt God calling her to mother people in a different way. And so she looked to the poor and the outcasts who were living along the immigration population and believed God was simply calling her to be with them, to love them, to just walk among them and do life with them. She said, at the last judgment, I won't be asked whether I satisfactorily practiced asceticism, how many bows I've made before the divine altar. I'll be asked whether I fed the hungry, clothed the naked, visited the sick and the prisoner in his jail. That's what I'll be asked. So she believed that joining the church and becoming a nun was the best way for her to live out this call. But her life was messy. And she sat down with the bishop and said, I could never be a good nun. And he said, I know. I'm calling you to be a revolutionary one. And she was. She didn't believe that her call to serve God was to cloister herself away. She didn't believe it was to live a monastic life of seclusion away from the world. She believed that God's monastery was the entire world. And that was her call. That was her job to serve. And she offended people. She blessed a ton of people, and she offended a bunch of others. She opened up homes to create safe places for the poor and the destitute and those that were in need. They called her the cigarette-smoking beggar nun because she'd walk up and down the streets in just worn, filthy, second-hand hassocks, men's shoes, and she'd beg and barter for anything she could get to help other people. And when the Nazis came to Paris, she joined with the French resistance, and her and the priests that she worked with did all that they could to help. They smuggled Jewish children out of captivity in garbage cans. They forged baptism certificates, tore down Nazi recruiting flyers. She had the strategy that if the Gestapo came to where they were and asked if any Jewish people were there, she was going to point to the painting of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That was her plan. They hid as many Jews as they can, but the day came where they were caught and arrested. She was transferred to a concentration camp. And even in the most ugly, horrifying circumstances of her time, she still managed to be a light for God. She held prayer groups and read the gospel and explained it to people. But she was eventually taken to a gas chamber. And there's speculation whether she was chosen or she took somebody else's place. But she died. And I'm amazed by her life because I think here's this woman who lost every one of her kids. Her third remaining son also died in the concentration camp. But rather than being wrecked by it like normal people would, it did something in her heart that called a different thing out of her. She lived in terrifying circumstances, but the people who knew her said she radiated the peace of God. Even in the midst of terror, even in the midst of pain and ugliness, the world could do, she radiated the peace of God. And she was a light in a very, very dark place. In our world, we see examples of men and women who step out, step away right into the world, and even in the midst of bad and scary and dark and horror, they shine brightly for Jesus Christ. And Jesus had an idea just like this that he communicated. One of the very first things that Jesus taught people that were following him was this. It was in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. Said, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Everything we know about who God is that God is the God of light. He shines his light, and the darkness can't overcome it. Which reminds us that no matter how dark the present circumstance, no matter how hard or scary the challenge that we face, God is greater than darkness. God is a God of light, and darkness can't help but be changed and influenced by light. Which means our faith in Christ reminds us that we love a God of light, that there's no pain that we face, no struggle that we're up against, no hardship that we will encounter that can't be overcome by the light of our God. And Jesus said, when you know him, you know light. Something of his light shines in us. We step out of the darkness and we get to walk in the light with him. Something awesome happens when lives are committed to Jesus Christ. Something awesome happens in a heart that's been turned from dark and focuses on the light. We get to be lights in the world. Lights that point the very way back to Jesus Christ. Christ says, this is who you are. You're the light of the world. This is what I want you to know that your job, your role, your call is, that the light of Christ shines in you for all of the world to see. Christ says we're to be. That the light of Christ shines. We get to be these bright, shining lights for him in the world. And then he makes what seems rather an obvious statement. He says you don't light a light just to cover it up. You don't turn a flashlight on just to put your hand on it so nobody can see it. You light a light and you use it. You shine it. You put it in the most prominent place that you can so that it exposes as much light as you can possibly shine. This is how the message says it. It says, God's not a secret to be kept. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now I've put you there on a hilltop. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Lights aren't meant to be hidden, and neither are we. Christ shines his light in us so that we, in turn, shine our lights. He didn't call us to live lives that are separate from the world. He didn't call us to live lives of seclusion, separated and apart. He called us to live lives right smack dab in the middle of this world that he created. I love how Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, Jesus Christ lived in the midst of his enemies. At the end, all of his disciples deserted him. On the cross, he was utterly alone, surrounded by evildoers and mockers. For this cause, he had come to bring peace to the enemies of God. So the Christian, too, belongs not in the seclusion of a cloistered life, but in the thick of the foes. There is commission. There is his work. God
didn't call us to have us remove ourselves. Instead, he called us to stand where we stand, to live our lives in the kind of way that sets an example for how awesome God is. Holy, good, noble lives that shine towards him. And when we do that, when we let our lights shine, people say, something's different. Something must be different. Isn't God awesome? So that people see us and they see something of the awesomeness of God. Something of what God is capable of doing in changed hearts and in changed lives. We live our life in the kind of way that people can't help but say, who is that kind? Who is that generous? Who is that gracious? It's extraordinary because the light of Christ is shining in us. But I think the tragedy is when people think about church, that's not usually the first word that comes to mind. When people think about Christians, light isn't the first word that pops into their mind. Unfortunately, the word hypocrite comes to mind a lot quicker than the word light. John Ortberg talked about hypocrisy in the church. He said, religious hypocrisy is one of the greatest barriers to faith for any thoughtful person. Why become a Christian when the church is filled with so many hypocrites and deeply flawed people? He said, hypocrisy is a kind of universal spiritual heart disease. This word hypocrite, he talked about coming from the Greek word that was associated with theater. Remember when they would wear a mask and they'd be a king in one act and a slave in the other? That was the whole right. They were a poser. They played a role and they assumed a pose. But Christ was the one who was the largest critique of religious hypocrisy. When you read about Christ's life, he was gentle and kind to the people everybody said were wrong, and he was harsh and direct with the people who neglected, the ones who should have known but didn't. John Ortberg said, the good person is the person whose heart, whose inner being, is bathed and pervaded by divine love. Therefore, the good person is not simply one who does good things, it's someone who genuinely wants to do good things. We all have this public persona, this face that we put on, and we work really hard to make it look good. We work really hard to shine up the image and make it pretty and shiny and good and no cracks and aren't I great? But then there's a private us. There's that inner self that only God can see. And the really spiritually good people aren't the ones who are shiny and clean on the outside. They're the ones who say, God, my heart is yours, the good and the bad, the ugly and the good. I'm giving it to you, help. Because the truth is, every one of us have our own inner shadows. Every one of us have our own inner darkness that we struggle with. We are not better, we're blessed. We are blessed because Christ found it in him to save us. Not because I'm shiny and good, but because he is. Not because my heart is without struggle and without error and without dark, but because the light of the Christ is so pervasive that even his light can shine into my darkness and make me a better person for him. And this is who Christ says we're supposed to be lights that work through our shadows, that don't say we don't have any because that makes us hypocrites, but to be real and say, I might have struggles, but Christ is greater than my struggles. I might have been a jerk in the past, but Christ is greater than even the jerkiest things that I have done. That the light Christ wants to shine in this world is so good and so great that he could even shine in my darkness and give me a small light that I get to shine for him. So to be these lights, it means we got to be aware of who we are. We got to be aware of what God's doing in us. We got to be aware of our own tendencies to act the part without doing any of the work inside. Because it's not what we say, it's what we do. It's not the words that we use, it's the lives that we live. And the world will know how we feel about Jesus Christ by our actions. Because it's easy to say right words, but it's so much harder to let those words do the work of our hearts, take root, and compel us to actually want to do good things. Not because I feel guilty, not because I was coerced into it, not because I want to check off my name and say I was a good person this week, but because I'm so connected to the heart of Christ that I can't help but say, God, use me this week. Shine me in the right direction. The world knows how good God is by the people who follow him, which means the world knows what God's doing in this church through us. Because the church is more than a building, it's the people who fill it. It's more than who we declare to be on Sunday, it's who we are the rest of the week. We are the church. Who we are in our families represents what it means to be the church. Who we are at work represents what it means to live a life changed by Christ. Who we are out on the street, out on the weekend, every day, that's the church. The light of Christ shining in us and us shining back into this world. So the world either sees the church as people who are shiny on the outside but hypocrites, or they get to see the church as people who are just like them, but they know Christ, and it's compelled them to do something different. I read an article in Psychology Today, and I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions. Her name is Diana Rabe, and she said, we all have this struggle with darkness, but here are some suggestions how to keep it in balance. She said, number one, be grateful and express gratitude. Biggest jerks are the ungrateful ones, aren't they? It's true, but guess what? So are we. And we get to push back about the jerkiness in our own heart by focusing on what we are grateful for, by picking days, even when I'm not happy, even when I don't want to express gratitude, to say, you know what? I am grouchy today, but the sun is shining, right? To look for the good that we can be thankful about. She says, second, be patient with yourself. It's a learning process. We don't get to where we're going overnight. It takes a lifetime, which means some days we're going to like ourselves better than others. But be patient. Keep your heart open to God for what he might do. Reach out to others. Be aware of your surroundings and create circumstances where you can reach out to others. I like this one. Choose your battles carefully. It's a learning curve when you realize you don't have to fight every fight. Sometimes you feel like you do, but we don't. We don't have to fight every fight. We get to choose the battles that are worth fighting and carefully choose, is this worth it? Is the energy I'm going to put into it right now going to have a difference? Or am I going to walk away looking like a jerk because I couldn't walk away? All right. Have courage. That's number five. Number six, be vigilant in all aspects of your life. Number seven, have the confidence to say, I'm better than that. There are moments in our life where we get to make a decision, and we get to look at ourselves and say, I'm better than that. I'm better. Christ in me is better than this, and get to make a different decision. Get support. The best thing God does is include you in a group of people, and you don't have to do it by yourself. Life groups are an awesome place where you just get to do life with people. You don't have to put the shiny facade on and pretend that we're all good Christians. You get to be normal and be around other people who are normal and just do life together and learn together and grow together and take care of each other and be a community with each other. I lost what number I'm on. Whatever number's next. Be aware of your resistance to change. We don't like change. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come naturally, but it is necessary. And we have to be aware of our own resistance to it, our own pushback that says, I'm good. I've done it this way. It worked. Or maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's a new way of thinking or looking or acting that might help me be a better person. And then the last one she said is this, be fearless about banishing negativity from your life. Just be fearless about it. It's so easy. I hate the news. I hate the news because it sucks me in, and I'm convinced the world is ending tomorrow. I've never watched the news and not been convinced by some person, it convinces me. It's persuasive, but it's not true. It's not true. And we have to have boundaries that say, you don't belong in my life. This type of emotion, this type of negativity, I'm never going to be a light because I'm sucked into the dark. We are allowed to create boundaries that say, I don't have to get sucked into this and banish the negativity. All right, we think through these things because it helps us focus on the kind of people that we want to be. That we make life commitments to Christ, and then the process becomes more of Christ in us and less of the darkness that we've been pushing back. The more we grow in our faith, grow with God, mature, the more we should grow towards people. At the very heart of being a light in this world is God loves people. You can't escape that God loves people. All people, people like you and I, people that we don't like, God loves. He loves them, and he calls us to love people. We shine by loving, by being compassionate and kind and inclusive and generous, by doing what God's called us to do. The world sees God through us. Just look at the history of God. If you just look from what God tells us, how he reveals himself to us, even when he created people, Adam and Eve in the beginning, even when they didn't keep their end of the deal, even when they just broke every part of the bargain they could break, it wasn't as bad as it could have been because God loves people. Even when the world was so wicked that God regretted making it, he still found a guy named Noah and saved him and his family. He called a man named Abraham, said, I'm going to make a deal with you. You're going to follow me. I'm going to be your God, and then you're going to be my people. And he made this promise, and it went through Abraham and his son Isaac and Jacob and Joseph to be their God. Even when they got sent to slavery, he sent a guy like Moses because he heard their cries and loves his people. He cared for them in the wilderness when they were complaining and annoying and they just couldn't take it. God led them to a better place. In the prophets, when people were as wicked could be, again and again and again and again, God raised up another person. God raised up another person, sent them in, helped them, saved them until they were wicked again and the cycle started over. God kept saving them. Even when they wouldn't listen, even when all of Israel, God's people, was destroyed, torn in two, carried off into captivity, God still was with them. God still brought them back, gave them a place and another chance. Even in the ultimate demonstration of love, God sent Christ into this world, that the love of God might be perfectly shown through Jesus Christ, that God loves our broken world, that Christ gave up his life so that we might have a chance at being saved. So many times, God could have just washed his hands and said, I'm done. Enough. Man, I give people two chances. I'm like, well, I tried. God gave us about a bajillion chances again and again and again and again. He could have just been done, but he didn't abandon us in the mess. He waded in to the dirty, gross mess we've created and shone a light to show us a way out. That's how much God loves people. That's how much God has been loving people throughout all of history. And so if we are going to live out his call for us, the love of God has to be in us, and it's got to shine on people. We got to treat people different. We got to look at people and see the reflection of who they might be in the grace of Jesus Christ. Because it's when we were at our worst that Christ found us. None of us get to say, I got it all together, I perfected my life, then I hooked up with Christ. It's when we were at our worst. But yet, we expect other people to be at their best before we'll give them the time of day. The God we love found us, waded in when it wasn't pretty, loved us, and showed us a different way. And he says, if you're going to be my lights in this world, you got to walk into the messy. You got to walk into places that are dark. You got to walk into corners that maybe you're not comfortable in. You got to walk into places and just be a light. Just by the way you do life, people are going to say something's different. Nobody could be that way, and they're going to see who God is because of it. Our Christ is filled with love. He offered courage to those who were closest to him. He gave love to those who needed a second chance. He gave friendship to the lonely. He healed the sick, showed mercy to the broken, gave direction to the lost, and compassion to the disconnected. Christ came in. He redefined how we get to live our lives. Redefined what it means to be included and not rejected. And that same Christ who's shown up in our life, forever changed our futures, forever given us another way to go, man, he wants to do the same thing today. He wants to do it in the lives of our families. He wants to do it in the lives of our friends. He wants to do it in the lives of our coworkers, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. Christ wants to do that same work. And he invited us, of all people, to be a part of it by saying, you know me, and my light's going to shine in you. And this world is going to see something different because of who you are in me. So we have to ask ourselves, is the light of Christ in us? Do I do life in the kind of way that people see something of how good, how kind, how compassionate and loving God is? Or have I just made my life as one more typical person? I'm like, eh, here's another one. We gotta love like Christ loved. He never said it would be easy, but he did say it would be worth it. The world is a better place every time that men and women take seriously this call that say, Christ, I want to be your light in this world. Christ, I want to do life with you. Help me. Not because I'm perfect, not because I've got it all together, but man, God, you do help me. When we just stand in the midst of a dark and broken world and we shine brightly, and people get to see how good God is. When we look at the world that we're in and we see beyond the brokenness, we see beyond the differentness of people that we're around, and we see the divine potential that God's placed in the hearts of people, every single person in this world, every single one could be different if the light of Christ would shine in them. I have a movie clip that I want you to see. I love what she said. She said, I did what had to be done because it was the right thing to do. Every day we are faced with these moments where we get the choice to say, not because it's easy, but because it's the right thing to do, who will I be? Who will I be today? Because she said, even an ordinary person can turn on a small light in a dark room. Every generation, who we are now and into the future, needs men and women who hear the call of God and says, I will be a light for you. I'll just be your light. Every corner I walk in, I'll turn on something of who I am, who I've connected into you, and will be your light in the darkness. So I want to ask you this week, will you be that guy? Will you be that girl? Will you just let your light shine for Jesus Christ? Because who knows what God might do in our generation, in our church? Who knows what God might do when we shine our lights for him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us, that, Father, you would fill our hearts anew, that we would be encouraged and strengthened by who you are and what you've been at work doing from the beginning of time. Father, would our hearts turn towards you? Father, I pray that you would help us reconnect to the light of Jesus Christ, that we might shine brightly for you in this world. Father, I pray every darkness we face, every evil enemy we come up against, Father, would you shine in us? Would you start pushing back against the darkness in our world and let the light of Christ be pervasive? Do something good in us and through us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.